Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The power of the dark side may have caused my toilet to overflow. On Tuesday, Mom asked me on Wednesday, have you tried flushing the toilet to see if it's working? And I said, heck no, I'm not letting it ruin my birthday. I just let that toilet sit there all day. And I'm pretty confident I'm going to have to replace it. But I will deal with it this weekend. It's too much to do during the week. I'm really thankful I have a house now with two full bathrooms because otherwise it would be a dire emergency. But yes, I did treat myself with a couple of fun things for my birthday. I got my car cleaned inside and out. So Princess Leia is shiny and spiffy, and the dog is not allowed anywhere near her right now. And I also got a pedicure, which I really enjoy. It's 45 minutes of sitting with your feet in nice warm water and having someone take care of your toes for you. And then I walked with a friend on Wednesday afternoon to get a medium, not a small this time. I went medium, a medium Oreo mocha fudge blizzard from Dairy Queen. It was to die for. It was worth the wait. And let me just tell you how much I was looking forward to it. This is a little secret just between you and I. There's this guy that I'm kind of interested in, and we've been trying to set up a phone call because our schedules are a little wonky. And what did you know? He texted me about 20 minutes before I was supposed to walk out the door with my friend and go get blizzards. So I had a decision to make. Do I postpone my time with my friend getting this blizzard that I've so looked forward to talk to the guy? Or do I take the chance that we're going to have to play text tag for another few weeks and see if we can figure it out? Or take the chance that he's going to lose interest and just disappear altogether? Well, it only took me a nanosecond of considering it, and I went with my friend to get a blizzard. If the guy wants to talk to me bad enough, he'll understand. Blizzard. Birthday blizzard. Something I have. Yeah! Something I had planned on for a couple of weeks. So my friend Paula and I, we really enjoyed those blizzards. We walked, we didn't power walk, but we walked relatively quickly the mile and a half to get to Dairy Queen. But we straddled, I mean, we strolled our way back home with our blizzards and didn't worry about burning calories while we were eating medium-sized ice creams. It was really good. So yeah, I don't know about the guy. I guess I sent him a picture of the blizzard, though, like, hey, thanks for understanding. The ice cream was really delicious. Priorities, people, priorities. Anyway, not that I don't want to talk to him. I do, but I didn't want to cancel. I've been looking forward to this blizzard for 2 weeks. And so that was cool. And mostly getting a chance to Skype with multiple family members was awesome. Grammy, Helen, and I spent about 30 minutes yapping back and forth on the computer on Skype, and I actually got a tweet from Skype, which is, I never even considered using the Skype handle when I am talking about Skype on Twitter. And they must do, like, have a search engine that looks through the entire site to find instances in which Skype is tweeted about. And they sent me a tweet back about my grandmother. So it was an actual person who was tweeting me back about my grandmother and said they couldn't wait to see the picture because I had mentioned in my tweet that I was going to try to snap a photo of Grammy while we were Skyping, which I did. And Skype sent me a tweet back saying, we can't wait to see this picture. Skype only has 5 million followers. Do I really want to send my picture of my Grammy to an account that has 5 million followers? I don't know. Anyway, she looks beautiful. And I did share the photo on Twitter. So please go check it out. If you would like to see Grammy Helen, now 99 years old, and how beautiful she looks. She is alive and vibrant. And I kept telling her, Grammy, you look so beautiful. She was wearing purple with turquoise trim. And she told me she needs a perm, so she's not thrilled with her hair. But she smiled the whole time, and we laughed. She thinks the toilet overflowing and me having to buy a toilet for my birthday is the funniest thing ever. She showed me her flowers, and I had sent her a couple of books for her birthday. So she said, do you want to see them? So she got up and went into her other room and got the books to show them to me. And it was such a cool blessing. I didn't want to get off the computer. I could have talked to her forever, but my younger niece, we were also supposed to Skype. So we jumped on Skype right after that. And then when I got home from the blizzard walk, the blizzard was gone within 10 minutes, of course. When I got home from my walk with my friend to get our birthday blizzard, there was a fiery sunset at the end of my street. So I also put that picture up because I thought it was pretty cool. The two views juxtaposed, my Grammy on the inside of my house where I was Skyping with her, and then outside my house, this fiery sunset that I consider to be a gift from the Lord on my birthday. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, perfect views on Wednesday. And I will also put them up on Facebook when I have an opportunity, though I'm going to need producer Dave's help, but I know that he will. Richard writes and said, blizzard for the win. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, producer Dave, you're a guy. I know you're married, so maybe it's not fair to ask you a dating type question. But if I dropped everything, including my blizzard and birthday plans, just to talk to you on the phone, I don't know. That kind of sets a weird precedent for any potential relationship, right?
I mean, from the guy's perspective, I actually appreciate what you did.
You do?
Yeah. I think that any man should understand that, one, you already had plans. Two, it's your birthday. You can do whatever the hell you want. Three, it's okay. We can talk later. We can talk tomorrow. And yeah, I don't know if some people like people dropping stuff and running right to them all the time. I don't like that.
Nah.
Like, be your own person. Do your own thing. Well, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's all good.
I mean, the only part is that we've been trying now for a couple of weeks to figure it out. He was traveling, and it's been such a busy stretch, and our schedules are opposite. So there was a twinge. My mom actually said to me, you should just tell Paula you'll go later. And I was like, Mom, no, I shouldn't. I felt I had such a strong reaction to that would have been the wrong thing. So, okay. I feel better from a guy's perspective. I guess if I never talk to him again, then it wasn't meant to be, right?
And that's actually part two that I was going to say. If he can't understand, he's not the right one. That's his problem.
We'll figure it out. All right, we'll keep that in mind. So I did not post a picture of my blizzard, but I did take multiple pictures of my blizzard. I just didn't feel like anybody would need to see my ice cream. But I'm sorry, I'm not the only person in the world who takes photos of my food. I just don't happen to tweet them very often, except for when I'm baking, and then now and then I do. But yeah, I the blizzard was so good that I took multiple pictures.
You got to use milk.
I hope so. I don't want any of that phony almond milk blizzard. You can't milk an almond, nor can you milk a soybean. It's not real milk. So yes, this was my treat. I really didn't eat much else on Wednesday. I didn't have time really, but I had a bowl of soup. That was it. Just so I could say I had some dinner before I ate the ice cream. But otherwise those were all my calories probably for the week, but they sufficed as my birthday calories. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
Well, if you're a blizzard, they can. I did a little toilet research on Wednesday as well. I didn't want it to ruin my birthday, but I talked to a few people who've purchased toilets. And for those of you who are listening last night, you may remember a guy called up and said, you have to purchase the seat separately. Apparently, that is a thing. because there are multiple types of seats, you can actually purchase a toilet that comes with a seat, but you have to confirm. So he said, so he said to me, make sure you ask if it's a one piece or a two piece. I'm like, that's bathing suits. That's not toilets. But yeah, you do actually have to make sure there's a seat, or you have to buy one separately. So my older niece, Deanna, was telling me how she bought a seat recently that you go to the store and you try them out. I was like, what is happening? We're going to be trying out toilet seats like we try out shirts at the store. Well, I guess you try out mattresses, though. People lay on mattresses at the store, and they want to be sure that it's the right mattress for them. So, all right, I'll try out the toilet seat when I go and when I pick one out. But that's after I get done with my taxes this weekend, and when the Masters is not on my TV, I will have to be shopping for a new toilet. But yes, I have to confirm that the seat is included, because I don't want to have to take two trips, one for the toilet bowl and one for the toilet seat. Most people have said they run about $250 to $300. You can get a fancy pantsy type of a toilet, but that's not me. I'm not a fancy girl. I'm frugal, and I like effective. I like practical. I am a girly girl. I do like frills every now and then, but I don't need them with my toilet. So hopefully I can keep this to under $300. But yeah, I did a little bit of toilet research. I mostly am concerned about what to do with the old one. Just put it out on the curb and see what happens. See if anybody comes along and takes it. See what I mean? It's never a dull moment in my life. I mean, I always have the strangest stories about things. I really do. But it was a great birthday. Surprise flowers delivered to my door, and a couple of other gifts that showed up, and lots of Skype. And gosh, I don't even think I've finished answering all the text messages yet. Text messages and emails. And I know not as many people send cards anymore. I still do, because I enjoy getting cards. I actually got a bunch of cards this year too, which was really cool. And then my Grammy asking me how old I am. My Grammy's the only one who's allowed to ask me how old I am. I guess when you're 99, the years all blur together, right? She has a friend, and then I'll get to your call, Andre. My Grammy has a friend that she's known since she was, let's see, when did they meet? 6 years old, first grade. She has a friend who is still alive that she met when she was 6 years old in first grade. They grew up in the same town, and they went to the same elementary school. Now, my Grammy didn't finish high school. She dropped out at eighth grade. She was working on the farm where she grew up. I don't know if her friend Angie finished school. But the two of them are still in touch, and they joke about birthdays. So Angie sent my Grammy a birthday card, and right now Angie is 99. But my Grammy tells me every time we talk about birthdays that Angie turns 100 in May. And so she always likes to joke about the fact that Angie is a little bit older than her, and that very soon she will be 100. I just think that's amazing. They've known each other for their entire lives, and they're both still here. They've outlived their husbands. They've outlived their siblings. They've outlived even some of their younger family members. And yet they've known each other since the 1920s. That's awesome. And the cool thing is they're both still very sharp, and they talk on the phone. They have conversations. They get on the phone. Oh my gosh. One time I was with my Grammy when she got on the phone with Angie. They'll talk for hours, 3-4 hours at a time, telling stories. So Angie is also in assisted living, but she's in Minneapolis, so they can't see each other anymore. They were getting together as recently as 5 years ago. And so they get on the phone and they talk forever, and their stories, and they laugh. And I just think it is the most amazing thing. My oldest relationship that's not family goes back to when I was 12, 13. I have a friend that I met at that age that I am still very close to. She's my best friend. But I can't imagine us being into our 90s or being 100 years old and still being in touch and still being able to have conversations. And they are both so precious. And my Grammy is so precious to me. And I just want to say thanks again for all of you who care about Grammy Helen like I do. So there's pictures up on Twitter, and I promise we'll get them up on Facebook too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Me and my stories. You know, I take the scenic route. Andre is in Jackson, Mississippi. Welcome to the show. Andre.
Well, I'm here.
Yo.
Amy, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
I got a good question for you.
Okay.
All right, I'm a diehard 49er fan. Yep. I know we pick at number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why a guy like Matt Jones gets so much disrespect because he played on a good team. I've never seen a guy put up those kind of numbers and get so disrespected.
You know, it's interesting, the chatter around quarterbacks right now, and really any high-profile draft pick, but certainly quarterbacks, Andre, because we know as football fans and really as a football industry, we put far too much emphasis on quarterbacks. But it's like this anxiety right now around the quarterback position. I've never seen it like this in my 20 years of working in this business. And so here, a couple of things. Justin Fields had a really, he killed his pro day last week. He was great. And yet somehow in the days that followed, there is this narrative that he doesn't love football and doesn't work. He doesn't work hard every time out. He doesn't put his 100% into it every time out. And that there are times when he loafs it. And it's crazy because I can't figure out where that came from. Nobody in the industry can figure out where that came from. But that was kind of this weird narrative that popped out of Justin's pro day. And now I don't know if that's the reason, but now he's about to do a second pro day when I don't think he has anything left to prove. And so that's one example. But then you talk about Mac Jones and the questions that he keeps getting about how he's not athletic enough to play the position and how are you going to manage quarterback in the NFL when you're not as athletic? And everyone that I've talked to, including one NFL coach who worked with him personally to prepare him for his pro day, everyone I've talked to says he is athletic enough to play the position in the league. Is he going to run around like Lamar Jackson? No, but not every quarterback needs to be Lamar Jackson. And so that's been kind of this weird narrative around Mac Jones. I will say when you played Alabama, a lot of people look at it as a well-oiled machine where you're set up to succeed, which is true. But Mac Jones still has to go out there and throw the ball. He still has to go out there and run the huddle. He still has to go out there and be the leader of the offense and take the instruction from Nick Saban and Nick's staff. And so Mac's intelligence is off the charts. His football IQ, off the charts. So people obsess about these things that they think are wrong or flaws, and yet everyone I've talked to says that he is ready to succeed. He may not be some great superstar quarterback. Maybe he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes, but he still can be a very solid, above-average starter, a dependable starter, which, I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yeah, you're right. I think that's the guy we're gonna get, because I'm looking at the makeup of Kyle Shanahan. You know, he had Matt Ryan, he had Kirk Cousins. I don't think he really cared for a running quarterback, so that's the reason I think we're gonna take Matt Jones. So
it's interesting.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, that's the report that's been going out there, the speculation. But I recently just heard that the Niners are actually thinking of taking someone else, which I don't. It's a lot of times right now, Andre, it's smoke and mirrors where there's teams that are kind of starting rumors, you know, false rumors so that they can throw other teams off the scent. Now, I don't think the Niners need to do that because we're pretty sure of what's happening at 1 and 2. At least we think we are. We may not be sure of what's happening at 2. But I do know that this time of the year, you got to be careful what you believe, because there are certainly false rumors out there and false narratives that are started just to kind of keep people away from the truth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I got this strange feeling. I think Jimmy G is going to be comeback player of the year. I think if they draft the quarterback, I think that might light the fire under him. I just got this strange feeling he might be comeback player of the year the day they draft the quarterback, because he's not worried about guys like Nick Mullen, and they signed some of the quarterback today. He's not worried about that. Mm. I think he needs a challenge. And I think if they draft the quarterback, that might light the fuse up under him.
So he needs
a challenge. For him to be comeback.
How about the challenge of staying healthy? Forget somebody pushing him for the starting job. How about just the challenge of playing 16 full games in a season, or 17, I guess, now?
Yeah, that's true. I just take 14. I take 14. Just,
oh, my gosh.
You know.
I love how you're settling for 14. It's Jimmy Garoppolo, so let's lower the bar. Oh, gosh.
Well, you know, thanks for taking my call, Amy.
You're welcome.
Love talking to you. I love listening to your show. I listen to it every night. I just don't want to call you every night.
It's fine. I don't want to talk to you every night either. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Andre.
All right. Well, have a good one.
All right. Bye. Well, fine. If you don't want to talk to me every night, I don't want to talk to you every night either. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We were going to throw a question out there about the Evil Empire. Yes, kind of a spin on Star Wars, but not about Star Wars. It's about sports. But because we've had so much traffic about the Masters and about the Masters without Tiger Woods, and because we still have a lot of Masters preview sound to share, and actually Tom Brady on Good Morning America, and then as I told you, and we'll do this at the bottom of the hour, as I told you, there are two new voices that I hadn't heard before weighing in on the Russell Wilson Seahawks relationship, and they give you a different perspective that I think is important to hear. So we'll do some QB news at the bottom of the hour, and straight ahead maybe we'll do a little more of the golf, because a lot of you are weighing in. How does no Tiger Woods impact your interest in the year's first major? A tradition unlike any other.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You got to hit numbers, no matter if the ball is spinning back or staying in place or bouncing forward. You still got to hit quality golf shots and land them in the spots that you want to. But with the course being firm and fast like it is, you definitely gonna have to be a little bit more careful about where you hit the ball.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dustin Johnson, the defending champion. Of course, he won his green jacket just 5 months ago and now turns around and plays this current Masters, the 2021 Masters, on the second weekend in April where it is normally scheduled. And he is definitely considered one of the favorites, along with Jordan Spieth, who has done a ton of damage at the Masters. And by damage, I mean that's a positive. As I mentioned earlier, I saw this stat. Since his debut in 2014, he has led more rounds, or led after more rounds at the Masters than any other golfer, and he's got twice as many rounds led than the next closest golfer on the list. So he only has the one green jacket, but multiple times he's come close to winning a second or even a third, and he is fresh off his first win in 4 years going into Augusta National.
When you're coming in form, it's a good feeling when you arrive here, and I've had that a few times. I've had it where, you know, I pulled down after missing a cut or not playing well leading up to it, and still played well here too. So just I love being here. I love being on the grounds. It's my favorite tournament in the world.
So I'm excited to see Jordan Spieth. I'm hoping he can carry that momentum forward to a course where he typically plays very well. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We've got the weekend set up for you on CBS. The best golfers in the world, they're at Augusta National. They tee off in mere hours in hopes of winning the coveted green jacket. It's a tradition unlike any other, with a Jim Nance who's unlike any other. The Masters, and the coverage begins Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. It continues Sunday an hour earlier. That's 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. I just finished writing my CBS Sports Minute. I have to go record it here at our next break. But part of it is about how on the eve of the Masters, we learn the cause of the accident that is keeping Tiger Woods away from the Masters this year. And now the other golfers they're talking about Tiger probably as much as they're talking about the golf course and the golf tournament itself. And it is, I think, somewhat bittersweet, even more bittersweet, that we now know kind of 6 weeks later what caused that crash and how tragic it was. And now we don't know if Tiger will get back to playing golf. My hope is that he's able to walk and run and play with his kids again without any type of limp or any type of pain. Golf may be on his mind. And if he wants to play golf again, I hope he does. It's hard to fathom that at this point, right? I wouldn't put it past him, but it's a long road ahead of him. And so even as he is recovering and he's home in Florida, it's still one of the top themes of this tournament is that there's no Tiger Woods. And golf has been dealing with this for years, even through his injuries and some of the other personal setbacks that have kept him out of golf or away from golf for a while. And so you've even got guys, and we talked about Justin Thomas earlier, who'd visited Tiger a few times in Florida, but guys like Rory McIlroy, who desperately want to win this tournament and who are among the best in the world, telling you, hey, it's not the same electricity or atmosphere without a Tiger Woods.
He's always missed when he doesn't play in these big events. And, you know, that doesn't change this week, whether it's to do with his back or his leg or whatever it is. You know, I know he's at home and he's fully focused on the recovery process. And, you know, I feel like he's mentally strong enough to get through that.
I actually appreciate the fact that most of these guys are very generous and gracious when answering questions about Tiger. Because let's be honest, at times they must feel like it's overkill. I'm getting ready to go out and play in the most important tournament in the world. It's a major, and all you can ask me about is Tiger Woods. Now, I think the fact that they were scared, really scared, when the news of Tiger's accident first broke, not knowing how serious his injuries, that probably carries over, and they're just so thankful that he's still alive and he's recovering. But yeah, it's something the golf world's been dealing with for years. When there's no Tiger Woods, there's still talk about Tiger Woods. Let's quick work in this call with Steve, who's in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Morning, Amy. Love your show.
Thank you.
It's my favorite thing to do on my commute this early. Cool. I was talking with your producer. I respect Tiger Woods. He's had a phenomenal career. But I can't stand all the Tiger hype, especially in majors. I love the way Augusta controls the broadcast of this tournament, and it'll be more relaxed. But on other tournaments, it's like if Tiger's even in the neighborhood, that's all they want to talk about. And the guys, you know, the guy's had an awesome career. I don't think the industry is done using him, like the broadcast industry. They're not letting him go gracefully into the sunset. But if anybody can come back from some injury like that, it's Tiger. Ben Hogan was in a horrible car accident. Everybody thought he would never walk again, and he came back to be competitive. But this is a more relaxed broadcast, and maybe I'm just a selfish golf snob, but it's more enjoyable for me to watch.
I just want to say, Steve, and I would agree with you, sometimes it's overkill. When Tiger was in his heyday, it was almost as though no one else was golfing. But you, I'm sure you know this, but I'll point it out as a member of the broadcast industry. We talk about what the audience wants to hear about. I know my audience. I know, you know, how to play the hits, so to speak. And golf always thrives when Tiger, golf ratings, golf viewership, golf conversation always thrives when Tiger is a part of it, whether it's good, whether he's winning, or whether it's bad and he's not out there or not making the cut. So the TV networks that carry golf, as well as the sports networks that talk about golf, may often talk about it over and over and incessantly, and it can get to be a pain in the ass, but I'm sure you know the ratings are so much better when Tiger's in a tournament, and that's not anything that broadcasting has to create. It's just people want to see Tiger Woods play golf.
Well, I think I've identified it myself too. It's kind of the golf snob thing, I think, a little bit, because he brought a ton of people to the game that never would have come to it.
Exactly.
His impact is on the lines of what Arnold Palmer did as far as, like, changing the perception of golf and who could do well and get a following. I mean, he's done great things, and, yeah, maybe it is a little bit of selfishness on my part, but it's just the overkill. The Jim Nantz does a great job, but then you get the other tournaments where, you know, the Gary McCords and the Carnival Barkers of the golf broadcast world, it's just, you turn the sound off.
Well, you know? You can say the same thing, Steve. You can say the same thing about football and Tom Brady, about basketball and LeBron James. You could say the same thing about any athlete that people just get tired of hearing about. Steph Curry for 5 years. People were annoyed about hearing his name over and over, so they made up something about how he's disrespectful with his mouthpiece. I mean, this is what happens. And it's a saturation, of course, but that's because broadcasters, we know that if you want to get ratings and you want to get interest, well, then you got to talk about what people care about. And like it or not, people still care about Tiger Woods and any polarizing figure. Tiger's relatively polarizing. So is LeBron James, Tom Brady to an extent. I think people are just jealous of Tom Brady. But yeah, I mean, it's that same way when you talk about the same person over and over. People tend to get tired of it and don't want to hear about it anymore. And yet they still tune in. So I got to let you go because we're late on a break. But I hope you enjoy the Masters. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Take care.
855-212-4227. Speaking of Tom Brady, he was the interviewee because Michael Strahan was the interviewer, but nobody uses that word, so I don't know why I did. He was a guest on Good Morning America. You'll hear from him plus two new voices that tell you Russell Wilson's going nowhere.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Was there any bit of you thinking, what do I do if this goes in the water?
Okay, first of all, I was not thinking at that moment. There was not a thought. It was, this seems like really fun to do. And I found out later that had that been an incomplete pass, that would have went down like 80 feet.
Oh, you're never seeing it again.
So
you even
I'm
hear,
so happy to Cam.
Whose voice is it that you hear say, no, can you indeed, there's somebody shouts, no, don't do it.
That's my little 8-year-old daughter. The daddy,
no.
And who could imagine that an 8-year-old girl would have the most sense of anybody in that whole area at the time. Like, you know, she's the voice of reason. I mean, go figure.
It was
really cute.
I love that. That's from James Corden and his interview with Tom Brady. And they were talking about that now infamous toss of the Vince Lombardi trophy over the water, over the bay in Tampa as part of their victory parade. And I love that. I mostly love that James laughs like as loudly and obnoxiously as I do. So that's cool. But Tom Brady obviously will always have that video that that people will bring up. And yes, in fact, it was part of his conversation with Michael Strahan on Good Morning America. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught it, touchdown, Kansas City.
Murray back to throw, and is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught, DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
He's got a man wide open, John Brown, he makes the catch, touchdown Buffalo, John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun, lob to the five, it is caught, touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ,
throws deep, man wide open, it's Lockett, he's in, touchdown. Seahawks!
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown! Titans!
Burrow back to pass, throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler
Boyd.
Touchdown! Yeah. Bengals!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Tom Brady sitting down with Michael Strahan. This interview done in person, actually, not done over a Zoom call, which I think is pretty cool. On Good Morning America, it aired in its entirety on Wednesday, so we now have our hands on the cuts. And one of the things that Strahan asked Tom Brady is about how he may have had too much, what was it? Avocado tequila? Is that what the culprit was supposed to be? Too much avocado tequila after celebrating.
It was great to see you get off the boat.
Yeah.
You remember that part?
Yeah. Barely.
I had a lot of fun, and I don't get to do that. You know, it's hard to relax. And yeah, when you're out in public and there's phones, not that I would do anything, but it still doesn't feel like comfortable for me, my personality, mm-hmm, to have people filming. So I tend to just stay at home more, and I don't go out a lot.
I feel the same way, and I'm not famous, but I can understand why he would be more private about being out. You hear stories of athletes who say they try to go out with their families. They're completely inundated by autograph requests and picture requests, and now with camera phones, everyone's filming everything all the time. And so I understand his reluctance to be out in public unless he could rent a private room and use a separate entrance, something like that. And so it's not often that we see Tom Brady letting his hair down, so to speak. And I think it's great. I know there were people out there who thought it was a bad example and yada, yada, yada. The man just won his 7th Super Bowl ring and is a guy that has meant so much to the game itself, not to mention to Tampa and now to the Buccaneers. And it was a rebirth for him of sorts. Let him enjoy a little bit of avocado tequila. Now, moving on, he, of course, it doesn't do that on a regular basis. Why? Because he's maniacal about taking care of his physical body.
For an athlete, your body is your asset. What I eat, what I drink, how I work out, all those things cumulatively add up. I started working with one of my great friends, Alex Guerrero, who's changed my life in so many ways, been working together for a long time. Now it's just became part of my life.
Yeah, TB12. They've developed this whole method that they have as a brand that they use to make money. But it's this commitment and determination to not allow father time to catch up with him if he can help it at all. And we know Tom Brady's never been fast. I mean, his mom thinks he's the fastest guy on the field, but it's not about his legs. And it's not about his speed. That's not how he makes his living. It's about his brain. It's about his knowledge of the game. It's about his commitment to detail. And of course it's about staying on the field. We talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and how he gets hurt. Well, Tom Brady, other than the one season where he tore his ACL and then, of course, the suspension, this guy is so consistent and he's been on the field. And that's a testament to how much he works and how hard he works and the fact that he really doesn't take many days off to drink avocado tequila. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I thought this was interesting.
The guy is drunk.
It was a headline that made the rounds, kind of clickbait on Wednesday, that he found out there are other ways besides the Patriot way after 20 years of being in New England.
When you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And I think when you go to a different place, you realize, wow, there's another way that people do things.
Sure. And there are other ways that can be successful. Now, there are no other teams in the NFL that had the same extended success than Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots over 20 years. So there's something to be said for the Patriot way and how you can plug in different people, different personalities, different roles, and it still can result in the same thing, which is being competitive and trying to win Super Bowls and being on that level. We'll see whether or not the Buccaneers can do it again. They did bring back all 22 of their starters. One more with Tom Brady on Good Morning America. As you can imagine, he heard from a lot of people who thought there's no way it would work away from Bill Belichick, and yet he enjoyed proving them wrong.
I was always kind of motivated by people that said, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're not fast enough. Not big enough. You don't have a good enough arm. You know, I've had a body of work over a period of time, so you just say, hey, like, quickly you forget. I think that's the great part about football. It's not really about what you did last year. It's kind of what you're going to do this year. So for me, it was what I was going to do for the Bucks last year. I still feel that way.
Let's give the man credit. This perspective that he has, that your past doesn't matter when you start a new season, that's something he got from Bill Belichick, and that's the way that you look forward and you don't rest on your laurels, so to speak. You don't sit around counting your rings and counting your money. No, you're playing as hard and as hungry as if you have no rings and no money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's turn our attention to a guy who's also a Super Bowl champ. Russell Wilson has been the subject of much speculation. How badly is this relationship between he and Pete Carroll and he and the Seahawks front office tarnished and broken? Well, there are two new voices that are telling you that's not actually the case. Here's the Hall of Famer Warren Moon, who has a personal relationship with Russ because he works with the Seahawks. He appeared on the Huddle and Flow podcast.
I think right now it's almost like a marriage that's starting to just have squabbles. And they're squabbling about, you know, certain little issues, whether it's pass protection, whether it's talent. There's all these little squabbles going on right now. And I think because of Russell's contract situation, there's not a whole lot the Seahawks can do as far as moving him somewhere else, even if they wanted to. So I think he's definitely there this year, unless they just want to take a hit and not become a really good football team for a year or so. But I think the marriage is not going to end very well going down the road. I think this squabble is going to turn into more of a separation and then a divorce at some point.
So Warren Moon takes the approach that they're in it for this year, maybe for next year because of the contract situation, but he thinks it's going to blow up into something more. Now, you're starting to hear that a little bit, rumblings of that. I still say that the situation, we can't yet see the end of it. If they go out and have a really good season, win the NFC West, and they end up, you know, repairing those relationships through winning, I wouldn't worry about it. Brandon Marshall takes it one step further.
This conversation is over. Russell Wilson is going to be a Seattle Seahawk for a very long time. Now, we can't predict the future. We don't know if, you know, you got so many things that can come into play down the road. We know that. But right now, Pete Carroll sat down and said, you know what? The philosophy difference, the difference in philosophy that we had, let's get on the same page. I need to give my Hall of Fame quarterback everything he needs to be successful and lead this team. They're on the same page. I would say their relationship is probably better now than it's ever been. So sometimes you got to go through this. You talk about marriage, you talk, like, you know, even the great Warren Moon, opining. Love it. He's giving his opinion on it. You know, talking about marriage and it's rocky right now and it's going to end rough next year. No, it's not. They're on the same page right now. And Russell Wilson, Nick, he wants to be a Seattle Seahawk for a very long time.
Brandon Marshall spinning even further on that marriage analogy that Warren Moon laid out on the Huddle and Flow podcast. He appeared on FS1 on First Things First, and he believes that it is a relationship, a marriage that is going through a difficult patch, maybe a 7-year itch or a 10-year itch, but it can be repaired and there is no separation coming. We shall see.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.